from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 3 here on a Friday afternoon. Whether listening on 1080 AM or watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.tv/1080am The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for joining us. In what will be a 4-day installation, Dusty and I started diving into the trophies and rivalry games across college football.
So many great ones.
There are, not only are there great ones, there's just a lot of them.
Yeah, there are.
I was able to narrow it down to 67 of like the accepted rivalry trophies, of which I took it upon myself to eliminate 3.
Okay.
There's 3 victory bells. So I did a random sort for the victory bell. So okay. 2 victory bells were dropped, and the third one was another copy. I can't remember what it was, but I did a random for that as well. So we got down to 64. So there's 32 different matchups.
Okay.
Of which we will host 8 teams, 4 trophy or 8 trophies for 4 days.
Yes.
To get through them all.
I think this is the Lord's work that we're doing here, because we talked about how great some of these trophies are. And like, you can go all the way from like the FBS all the way down to Division III. We mentioned Lewis and Clark and Willamette University here in Portland and Salem. They play for the Wagon Wheel. You got the Wagon Wheel game. You have Occidental College down in Southern California. They play Whittier in what's called the Shoe Game, because apparently they played for somebody's shoes. I think Richard Nixon was a part of that game, by the way.
Were they tricky shoes?
He was at Whittier.
Yeah, he went to Whittier, and I think he was on the football team at Whittier as well.
I think you might be right, yes.
But there was they play for Myron Claxton's shoes, apparently. You got some weird trophies and weird history behind it. Trophy games in football are awesome. The Beavs and the Ducks, the Platypus, it needs to be, I think it's made of wood, which is okay. We need to make this thing a grander platypus trophy.
We need to make an actual platypus.
Bring a live platypus that they play for.
Venomous.
Wow, that was a lot of peas. Live platypus that they play for. Okay.
It's a good enunciation warm up.
Don't pop your peas. Yeah.
Mm. Unique New York.
Don't use those plosives.
Plosives. The Platy will eventually be here.
Mm.
It will make an appearance.
Oh, it will.
It will make an appearance. Not today.
Let's go.
What we have on tap for today, and the way that I did this is I wanted to seed this better, but my computer did not like me and corrupted part of my spreadsheet. So I had to do a random generator instead of the regions that I wanted to do. So with that, we have some matchups that might end up being landslides.
Okay.
Like, this might be some 1 versus some 16s.
All right. Let's go through our first day of trophy games in college football.
In matchup number 1.
Yes.
The trophy for the bones between Memphis and UAB. And boy,
those drums.
It is a rack of ribs.
Yeah, how perfect is that? UAB, Alabama, Birmingham, mm-hmm. in Memphis play for a bronzed rack of ribs. It's a glorious trophy.
It's an incredible trophy. Now, that is going up
against... They have not played very many times.
No, 1997 is the first one.
UAB dominates this.
A lot of UAB on
there. Yeah, this ain't
basketball.
It's a lot of UAB.
They drew the Territorial Cup between University of Arizona and Arizona State. The cup itself, in the way that we've done this, all of the posts are up on my Twitter.
Yep.
So everybody can see them. At Danny Morang. They've been retweeted by the 1080 account. And the Danny and Dusty accounts, so everybody can see them.
Yep.
The Territorial Cup looks like a cup that you saw on your table in that one white room at your house that nobody ever used.
They need an endorsement deal with Tarnex, right? You remember
yes.
that?
Are you kidding me?
Tarnex?
I have a bottle of Tarnex under my sink.
It was all over The Price is Right. Yeah. When you were sick at school, you'd see that and you'd be like,
that black
God,
bottle
that really
with the gray cap, with the gray cap, it works every single time.
But
that stuff will get you high.
You go with the, wow, you go with the room, white room in your house. I think it looks more something out of like Harry Potter. Like they use the Territorial Cup to transfer themselves
the Goblet of Fire
from one place to another.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not the best. My vote on this one, I'm going the Bones Trophy. I think a bronzed rack of ribs is a phenomenal trophy for those two schools.
I feel like that might be a dark horse winner through all of this.
Ooh.
Well, the one, because I had never seen it before. I'm like, the Bones sounds pretty dope. Let me see this. And I saw it and I went, ooh.
The Bones currently with 73.8%
running
of the vote
away.
Right now. Running away.
In matchup number 2. The Michigan MAC trophy, the one of the few three-way trophy titles.
Okay.
A menage a trois trophy.
Hey.
Between Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, and Western Michigan is a directional trophy, ladies and gentlemen.
You like those directional trophies. As a proud alum of a directional school, I love directional trophies. And it's the murder mitten. It's the state of Michigan.
It is.
Glass on a trophy, but I feel like this is going to get boat raced.
Yeah, it is going up against, again, what I would imagine is a short straw draw, the jeweled shillelagh of USC and Notre Dame.
Yeah. Looks like a petrified piece of poop, but it has a bunch of jewels on it.
That's probably the kinder, gentler, radio safer. We're a family show.
It's very phallic looking as well. Petrified.
Phallus.
Yeah. I mean.
Bedazzled.
You're not wrong.
Look, folks, it is what it is.
It's got for every win by the Fighting Irish, there is a clover on there or a shamrock that is on there. For every USC win, it's a golden Trojan head that goes on to this phallic trophy.
Yes, you do put the Trojan on the phallic head.
That's right.
Indeed.
And, you know, maybe you get lucky.
Hum, babe. In matchup number 3, in what could be a very, very, very unfortunate draw for either side.
Jeweled Shillelagh, by the way, gets my vote. And I think we...
It's a runaway right now. You know where I'm going with
this.
That's right. This is an unfortunate draw, ladies and gentlemen. In matchup number 3, the iron skillet between TCU and SMU versus the old oil can from Fresno State and San Diego State.
Okay.
Two great trophies.
I love that we get some just truly bizarre trophies. Like, this is what makes it great, is that the iron skillet, why? Why an iron skillet?
I mean, it's Texas.
Sure. All right.
And it's the Methodists against the Christians.
The Methodists against, but so they would want to hit each other over the head with a frying pan? Is that what we're going with here? All right, here we go. Here's the history of the iron skillet. During pregame festivities in 1946, an SMU fan was frying frog legs as a joke before the game. A TCU fan, seeing this desecration of the frog, went over and told them that eating the frog legs was going well beyond the rivalry, and that they should let the game decide who would get the skillet and the frog legs. SMU won the game, and the skillet and frog legs went to SMU. The tradition eventually spilled over into the actual game, and the iron skillet is now passed on to the winner of each year. I like that. I'm on board with that. Like, see,
but really getting all bent because somebody's cooking up frog legs? And we thought they were getting soft about horns down.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Rust. I just want to remind everybody out there. This is over college football, where Alabama fans shoot LSU fans and vice versa for not rooting for their team.
Pal.
Come on, pal.
The old oil can, it was an old oil can from the 30s from Fresno that was found at a construction site in San Diego.
See, now that doesn't have quite the history behind it, but it's like, hey, this is from Fresno. We found it in San Diego.
We're going to fight over this.
I feel like the loser got the first one of those.
Yeah, it's...
of those. It's like, you have to take this home with you if you lose this game. We don't want it anymore.
And it dates back. It's old.
All right.
So, but the iron skillet versus the oil can, matchup number three, and it is a dead heat. It is 49.1 to 50.9 in the poll.
I went with the oil can in this one. Ooh. The oil can, it just looks like an old rusty oil can, but I think there's something to be said about having an old beat up rusty oil can. It's like a lunch pail type award there, which I don't associate with San Diego State. Or the city of San Diego is bring your lunch pail, let's go to work. But for college football trophy purposes, I'm on board with it.
Our final match of the day, the Commonwealth Cup, Virginia Tech and UVA.
Yeah.
Against the Floyd of Rosedale, Iowa and Minnesota.
This is a no contest.
This is a runaway.
The Commonwealth Cup, it looks just like the Territorial Cup, except for the handles are a little bit different.
It's bigger.
I am going with the Floyd of Rosedale, and the Floyd of Rosedale
is a pig.
Is fantastic. It is a bronzed pig, and
the original
Iowa and Minnesota are playing for it.
The original was an actual pig.
Now we're talking.
The original was an actual pig. It has been memorialized and commemorated with a bronzed pig. It was established in 1935.
Wow.
Just the fact that they named him Floyd, too, but why, is fantastic.
But why do we have... why is it a pig? Do we know?
It's...
Okay,
here
we go.
It's Iowa.
The Floyd of Rosedale Trophy is a 98-pound bronzed pig that's been awarded to the winner of the University of Iowa and University of Minnesota football game since 1935. The trophy's history began in 1934 after a racially motivated attack on an Iowa player during a game against Minnesota. Oh, boy. Iowa Governor Clyde Herring obtained an award-winning pig from Alan Loomis, the owner of Rosedale Farms near Fort Dodge, Iowa, as a bet to refocus the game on its spirit. Herring named the pig Floyd after Minnesota Governor Floyd B. Olson and Rosedale after its birthplace. Iowa won the trophy the first time in 1939, and Herring, who was then a senator, was on hand to celebrate by tying a blue ribbon around Floyd's neck. So that, okay, there's a lot going in here. Rosedale, the farm, but then what a flex by Iowa's governor naming a pig after Minnesota's governor.
Not
like, hey,
bad.
Take this pig.
There you go, pig face.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'm rooting for Iowa every year in this battle because of what happened there.
Iowa, the birthplace of not racism.
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it?
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we are.
They do two things in Iowa, punting and pigs.
That's right. Go. That's right.
Those are our four matchups today. Eight teams, eight trophies. I should say 16 teams, eight trophies. Go to at Danny Morang or at Danny and Dusty or at 1080 The Fan across Twitter. You can find all of them there where you can take a look at each pick, at each trophy, and then make your vote.
We will be crowning a champion. We will be crowning a champion. And yet, I believe that the Memphis and UAB players, they do actually get ribs after that game.
I mean,
not just a rib.
There's got to be like a Rio's ribs posted up,
yeah,
ready to serve them, right?
Yeah, somebody has jumped on that
and
immediately.
It, and it has to be pork, right?
Yeah.
It can't be beef.
No.
They know better down there.
Yes, they do. They do ribs.
I can tell you a place where they don't know better. Colorado.
Oh, boy.
Deion Sanders is in. He's not stepping in it. He's bathing in it. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Boy, do we open up some wounds here. Deion Sanders at Colorado's media availability.
Or their media day.
Media day. Singled out a local CBS reporter for what the quote-unquote CBS national media did to him.
That's the end of that question, I guess. Next guy.
Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado.
I'm not doing none with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last
ain't got nothing to do
Rigo's.
With you. It's above that. Ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you. Respect you. Ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rigo, my last
question. Ain't got nothing to do with you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
And what did they do, Dusty?
Well, I don't know, because we've talked about the Athlon Sports article, which is not CBS Sports, but the Athlon Sports article about guns and violence and bullying within the Colorado locker room and running a lot of guys off, that landed this week. But the only things that people can point to that CBS National has done is there was a ranking of Big 12 coaches heading into this season, and Deion Sanders was ranked second to last in the Big 12. Heading of all the head coaches in the Big 12, they ranked him second to last. There is the only other thing that people can think of is that CBS Sports compiled a, because of the darts only thing, where it was a horrible cut of Shedeur Sanders throwing a ball and then a hard cut to a guy catching it in the end zone, mm-hmm. where it looked like it was two different plays yes. completely.
It was a very bad edit.
And then, but every other school, well, most schools out there, they all just
25 different schools
got in on it, including like even like the Timbers got in on it mm-hmm. with like the goalkeeper throwing a ball down the field and then kicking a goal in
yeah.
in a completely different cut. But people were kind of mocking it. And what CBS Sports did is they just did a compilation of what everybody else has mm-hmm. done, and they aggregated everything and they put it on their website. Outside of that, there's a lot of folks scratching their heads going, what could Dion have a gripe with CBS Sports over? And also not knowing the difference between being a local CBS affiliate, like this would be like Dan Lanning or Trent Bray holding something against Brenna Green of Coin 6 because mm-hmm. CBS is Coin here locally, even though CBS doesn't employ Brenna Green
no.
or anybody or Adam Bjornsson or anybody that works for Coin. It's just the local affiliate
mm-hmm.
and not knowing the difference between the two.
They are completely separate entities.
And then Dion sitting there going, you are who you are. Well, I think we can all look at the Athlon Sports article and do we want to hold Dion to that same standard? Well, you are who you are. Mm. Your program is what it is right now. Is that what we're going to go? Is that what we're going to go with and holding people to those standards, Dion?
I'm also just now seeing the video of this. Dion looks like he's aged 20 years
yeah,
but in a season.
There's a lot of white in that beard.
Being the head football coach at Colorado is the same as being the president. It'll age you real quick.
I mean, like he's got, that's
a 4-8 season will do that to you,
I mean, he's got presidential years. You're 100% right. It's, wow.
Yeah. We have also on the heels of the Athlon Sports thing, Dion has apparently threatened ramifications, according to Awful Announcing,
uh-huh.
based on the article that was written. And the writer of the article for Athlon Sports, he went on Lepetard's show, and his name's Steve Corder, and he said, dude, I went through this. I checked. I double checked. I vetted my sources. I went through everything. He goes, what I reported is all fair, and I have zero worries that any of it is not going to hold up. And so Dion is now, he's on the defensive, and I think like this is the first time that we're seeing the shyness come off Dion at Colorado.
I mean, I think it was starting to come off pretty quickly, but over the last couple of months, it's falling off.
Yep, and it's all starting to pile up.
The lights are a little too bright.
Yeah, but
I think
they're shining bright on the program right yeah. now. Dion has never been afraid of bright lights, but the way that he has been handling a lot of the situations that have been going on with Colorado recently, boy.
So much of it, though,
I'm more and more at
the
bar, too.
It gets the worst of it for him. It seems like it's always because of his kids.
Yep.
Because if they're talking about the darts only, if that's really what pissed him off, guess who runs their social media?
His son.
Okay. And remember the stuff about Shiloh? Remember how that sent him sideways?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff about Shedeur sent him sideways? Yep. Are we noticing a trend here?
It's not going to sit well.
See, I think this is kind of the first time in Dion's life / career where he really has honestly gotten too big for his britches and hasn't been able to meet the moment.
Yeah.
Where he hasn't succeeded.
And this is like the honesty about all of this is you're right in that all of this stuff is kind of centered around his kids. And he says that he is trying to build something at Colorado and he's not going anywhere once Shiloh and Shedeur leave. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're looking at it and be like, for his longevity as the coach of Colorado, they can't leave soon enough, though, because they seem to be at the center of a lot of what has been going on in the controversies, in the stumbles of the Colorado program. It's not just the offensive line, right? It's that mm-hmm. when your kids call out the offensive line, when you call out the players that are on the field.
It's not even the manner. It's not even what they did. It's the manner, the flippant, dismissive manner.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they trash.
But also,
they're not wrong, but I mean, it's just...
Shadur is... You're not going to find a quarterback better than Shadur unless they flip Julian Lewis from USC, mm-hmm. which appears to be closer and closer. I was listening to Andrew Nemec last night on the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec that Julian Lewis may be looking at Colorado, but USC is also looking other places to fill their quarterback spot as well because they just may be growing apart in mm-hmm. that situation.
Same thing happened with Malachi Nelson, too.
Yeah. So, I mean... And where he ended up at Boise State. He's at Boise.
Yeah,
they play Oregon coming up.
So
week number two,
interesting developments for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. It is 2:30, which means it's time for the world's greatest game show, Jeff Frost. Oh, coming up next, but here there's a big Kahuna himself for sports and update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30 ish. Which means it's time for America's number one favorite game show, Jeff Ross. Oh, Jeff Ross, take it away.
Song to Looking Glass, Brandy.
Right. Let's see here. So yeah, Team USA facing France tomorrow morning for the men's basketball gold medal. They of course came from behind late to beat Nikola Jokic and Serbia yesterday. Team USA 16-point favorites against France to win their fifth straight gold. So the win over Serbia. Cause for concern,
or
the kick in the butt they needed.
Probably the kick in the butt they needed.
The rest of the world is getting better at basketball, and the world's best player was playing for Serbia in a sport where the best player on the floor can dictate a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. And this will be the last. We have one more game of Steve Kerr as the head coach of men's basketball for Team USA.
So I'm going.
I don't think we're going to deal with this chicanery anymore.
I'm going with the kick in the butt they needed. Kick in the butt they needed.
The women's team. They secured,
France will roll over.
Cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Mm, yeah, wow. they're gonna wave a white flag.
The women's national team secured their spot in the gold medal game this morning with an 85-64 win over Australia. 16 points, 6 boards for Brianna Stewart, 14 for Jackie Young. They'll face France as well for gold. Which is the more dominant national team, not just this Olympics, but overall, the men
or
the women?
Women.
The U.S. women, and when the sports they succeed in, they are so far above and beyond the rest of the world. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Allowing our women to play sports early, it seems to be paying dividends in the Olympics, huh?
Paid off a ton. And now, we haven't given them some of the other sports yet, but, you know.
I think it's really cool to see how dominant American women's basketball is.
Yes.
And I think that we will see the push like we did in soccer where the U.S. women were dominant mm-hmm. and now the rest of the world is catching up just like in men's basketball. We will see that in women's basketball as well.
And hey, if we want to act like Denver Nuggets fans, we can all go cheer for the French women's team because Ryan Repair's sister plays for the French team.
There we go.
So there
Let's
you go.
Do that.
So if you want to be American traders, there you go.
Never.
Also at this Olympiad, breakdancing, they call it breaking.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Has made its debut.
Mm-hmm.
I could not sound more old and white by saying it's two competitors in a dance battle.
Mm.
A member of the Portuguese squad said she got into it after watching You Got Served.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. The Australians have a 36-year-old woman who, God bless her heart, has just been getting absolutely roasted today on Twitter. Which brings us to breaking at the Olympics, old and busted,
or
new hotness.
I'm going new hotness because, boy, that the video of the 36-year-old from Australia is just giving life to social media right now.
There was one bit, it was just like a short 2-3 second clip of her kind of, for lack of a better word, flailing and rolling around on the ground.
It looks like she was being tased.
And I don't think that was for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I feel like that was actually very spot on with what she was doing.
They tagged it as The Rock after a Stone Cold Stunner. It was fantastic.
I mean, it's so bad, it's good.
You know what they need to do? You know who needs to be on the play-by-play for that? Is
Snoop.
No. John Michael Higgins.
Oh, you know, that'd John be fantastic. Oh, yes.
John Michael Higgins, where he's been in Best in Show and mm-hmm. Pitch Perfect, and he has played an announcer who tries to be very engaged with what's happening.
Jennifer Aniston's brother in The Breakup.
Yes. Where he would be perfect for that, where he'd give us a little comedic relief and also really dive into it, be like, oh, I really love how she's doing that hand spin. Look at that. She's 36. She's got to worry about
osteoporosis. Her name is Ray Gunn, and she has a PhD.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other best part, too, is they all go by their, like, pseudonyms.
Their dance names.
The judges, all but one, go by their nicknames as well. The one that doesn't is, like, a 61-year-old man from Belarus.
See,
it's fantastic.
I'm sure he's well-versed in the world of breakdancing.
My favorite part, though, is that it's like, we want to be taken seriously as an Olympic sport. I'm Ray Gunn. Here to dance. I'm not dancing. Don't call it breakdancing. We're not dancing. Ray Gunn doesn't breakdance. I break.
Just breaking.
You can't have it both ways. Yeah. Sorry.
If it comes back at 2028, is it breaking two electric boogaloo?
You're damn right. You're damn right.
By the way, I'm mad that that word has been stolen.
What?
Boogaloo? Boogaloo.
Mm. By the way, Ray Gunn's PhD is in cultural studies, focusing on break dancing culture.
All right.
So we are just making it up as we go.
That's one of those ones where her dad's like, oh, yeah. Her dad's like an actual doctor. And they're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, you're a doctor.
She's like, I'm a doctor,
lives.
Too.
No, you're not. Like, no, you're not.
You're in break dancing, Ray Gunn. And we're not calling you Ray Gunn, Matilda. You're going to be Matilda. That's what we named you. I'm Ray Gunn. No, you're not.
Oh, man.
Those dinners must be electric.
You have to call me Nighthawk.
Like the router.
Week one of the NFL preseason continues tonight, 4 o'clock on NFL Network. The Steelers hosting the Texans. Justin Fields should get a bunch of time. Russell Wilson dealing with a calf injury. But head coach Mike Tomlin says Dangerous is still QB1. So, barring injury, who finishes the season as QB1? Russell Wilson
or
Justin Fields?
Justin Fields.
I'm going to say Justin Fields just because Russ is probably going to get hurt. But for all of the stuff about Justin Fields doing great in camp, he's rising up the depth chart, he's going to be that guy. And for Russ, with his leg falling off, still number one on the depth chart, tells you pretty much everything you need to know about the Steelers quarterback situation.
Well, they promised Russ he'd be the starter, too. You know how those promises go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See Beasley starting for the for the Bucs.
Carmelo Anthony playing 30 minutes a night.
That would be great if they pulled that. Like, it'd be the only NFL team that does that, right? Where it's like, Russ starts a series and then they give him the hook and they put in Fields. It's like,
you started.
We promised you that you'd be the starter and you will. This go be great.
Caleb Williams will make his debut tomorrow as the Bears visit the Bills. Josh Allen and Buffalo starters will play some as well. That's a 10 a.m. kick, also on NFL Network. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Caleb Williams
or
the field.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to take him. I know everybody wants to say neighbors, but it might as well be me throwing him the ball. I can't get behind Malik Nabers winning Rookie of the Year. I just can't. The quarterback play and offensive line play is horrendous. I think Caleb Williams has a chance with all the weapons he has to put up a pretty prolific year.
I think, look, it's not a bad call whatsoever.
The field is always a safer bet, but I'm going to take Caleb.
You think of it and you go, all right, would Rome Odunze be that guy? He is on the field, so it will always go to the quarterback over that receiver. Yep. You can look at Malik Nabers, and I'm with you. I just don't think that he'll be able to get that. I think Jaden Daniels may have that competition, though, if the NFC East does fall apart. Yep. If the Eagles are as big of a mess with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni as they appear, if Dak Prescott is dinged up and this ankle injury lingers longer...
Because J.J. McCarthy's not starting the season. It doesn't sound like Bo Nix is going to start the season.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is a sneaky one.
That's a good one.
Marvin Harrison Jr. because they will throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray will feed him as much as he possibly can.
Won't be during the preseason.
No, it won't. And then also like a sleeper because he could put up gaudy numbers and it could be on a good team or two guys. Xavier Worthy in Kansas City. And Keon Coleman in Buffalo.
I think Coleman's the one that I think I can really get behind.
Yeah. Yeah. But that would be if Caleb Williams falls on his face.
Yes. And that's the thing is, I with the amount of weapons he has, with the better than normal, I think, starting offensive line for a rookie quarterback who's getting taken number one, I've heard people say that this is the best position it's a number one overall pick quarterback has ever been dropped into. I think I'm there. And because of that, I'm going to go with him.
And your USC bias, which is fair. That's fair.
I'm trying to, because if Odunze was on another team with just an average quarterback, I would probably lean towards Rome. Because I think it's easier for wide receivers to be that offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, that's why I think Marvin Harrison Jr.'s got...
Mm-hmm. If I was going to go anywhere but Caleb, that's where I'd go.
Yeah, yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr. could be good. It's just easier to go at the field.
It is.
All righty. Well, that's all we got time for.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Russ,
that was rapid fire.
The best and most amazing game show in the history of game shows.
Woo!
There you go. You like that? Come in next, put a nice little bow on today's show before we hand you off to Isaac Zuki of Primetime. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. You want some hot pickles action?
Yeah.
Well, head on down to Walker Stadium.
Oh!
Pickles are in the playoffs. They're going to play the Bend Elks. Game one is in Bend on Saturday the 10th. Game two is at Walker Stadium Sunday the 11th at 6:05.
Look at that.
And then game three of Necessary on the 12th.
They're going to have playoff pickles.
You going to get down there and get some hot pickles?
I hate the taste of pickles. They make me vomit.
You love pickles.
They make me vomit.
You going to go get a pickles tattoo?
Nope. Never. Never will. Never will.
On your ankle?
Pickles are good, man.
I hate pickles. I was in a pickle eating contest, rookie show, in college. You had to eat a jar of pickles and drink the juice in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's why you hate pickles.
And I puked up relish, and I've never, the smell, the taste, vomit.
All right, well, that instantly. Makes sense then, I guess.
Instantly.
Well, I guess
not a pickle
guy. Sandwich related news.
I'll watch the Portland Pickles, though.
Mayonnaise has worked as a solvent for nuclear fusion.
Okay, what guy made that mistake? Who was eating their lunch at the old nuclear reactor and was like, whoa, breakthrough?
He's eating his sandwich over it, and then just all of a sudden, oh, hell.
And wait a minute, does this make us feel better or worse about eating mayonnaise?
Yes.
Because I feel like it's not a great situation if you're like, you know what this is? This is a solvent for nuclear fusion. Is that what you said?
Yeah, they said they're using the same physics for mayonnaise.
It's great for my gut health.
To help physicists corral ultra-hot plasma that is needed to produce nuclear fusion. Not to be confused with nuclear fission.
Yeah. What sort of gimmick do you suppose they work into it at next year's Duke's Mayo Bowl?
Right?
Nuclear bomb?
I bet a guy had too much mayo.
I was going to go with like maybe Bunsen and Beaker, the Muppets, but you know.
I'm feeling like he had like
Mr. Adam.
He had some Mac salad and was sitting on the toilet and like, golly, this is just running right through. Wait a minute. Breakthrough. Light bulb moment. Mm. You know what?
If you just grease it with mayonnaise.
It's going to work. It's going to work. We got something here. Those are my only logical explanations for how this happened. Either was having a lunch, spilled it, or had some bad Mac salad, was running right through him, was like, I got it.
Look, Oregon State, one of the top nuclear research facilities in the world, research, get a little,
here we go.
Little crossover there.
Here we go, the Mac salad nuclear crossover we didn't know we needed. What saves Oregon State athletics getting back into the Power Four?
Nuclear fusion.
And mayo. Amazing. It'll happen.
Amazing.
Hey-o!
That's a stretch.
It's not. That's right on brand for
Jeff
Russ.
I don't want to give you that one.
That's right on brand. You did it.
I want to go home and watch the breakdancing event in full now.
I don't think you do.
I do.
I mean...
I want to go watch the Australian lady again.
It's every time... there's certain things that when they hit social media, no matter how old they are, I will watch it all the way through. I think the 2-minute clip of her doing her routine, I think I will, 10 years from now when it pops up, hey, remember this? I will go.
By the way, I think she got skunked in the scoring too, like 54-0. I'm not sure how the scoring works.
Wait, how does it, you go head to head?
Yeah, no,
it's a head to head.
Oh, yeah, and they do the whole like walking around, like rub your chin thing.
Oh, sweet.
It's a dance battle.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Take us seriously.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, if we get this one, break dancer, she has a PhD, they might think we're serious. Her name is Raygun.
Raygun. I can't wait for them to get popped with performance-enhancing drugs, too.
It's it's called Molly.
She was roided out of her gill and on ecstasy.
She was tripping balls. That's why she was sliding across the floor.
I'm sorry, we found too many pacifiers in your carry-on baggage.
God. Can't, man.
That'll do it for us this week. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Suk. We'll see you Monday, noon to three, right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Could tell it was a huge start. So much power.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.